You're the last person I want to talk to. I know. But the Lord's got something to tell you. Of course, I've learned a long time ago it's really his wife telling him, and then he calls, but that's all right. We're honored to have him. Will you put your hands together and honor the Lord Jesus Christ and welcome the man of God.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord that high praise for every blessing, expected and unexpected. How many has ever had the Lord give you an unexpected blessing? Amen. 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 We are thrilled to be here, my wife and I. We are just by ourselves, and one son is already in Fort Lauderdale. The other one is in Louisiana, and we're going to try to all get connected up here soon. And I am leaving early in the morning at 6 a.m. from the airport in Fort Lauderdale to Maryland. And I'll be there tomorrow night, the next night, for men's conference preaching. And I'll be back here Saturday evening to be back with you Sunday morning. Amen. So, a few thousand miles, a few sermons, a few flights, a couple of states and cities, and I'll see you again. Amen. So good to see you, Pastor Kyle, Brother Sapp, and all the good leadership team. Amen. Everybody looks so good. All the happy faces out there. I just got new glasses, and they're not bifocals because two focals was not enough. I had to have multifocals, so they're progressive. So I've got to find where you are by tilting my head. And when I get it just at the right angle, I can see you. And then I have to tilt it differently to look down on my iPad. Hallelujah. I'll be 50 years old next month. And hallelujah, I'm beginning to feel it. And I'm beginning to show it. Brother Sapp leaned over and was noticing some gray hair. It's like, well, thank you very much. Nice to see you too. Your face looks wrinkled. But we're glad to be here in the wonderful Florida sunshine. We've been over in Louisiana and then over into the Gulf Shores for a few days last week and then down to Gainesville for Sunday and right on over to here. Amen. So I'm glad. I don't know what you normally do on Wednesday night. I suppose you sing and preach and pray. So I've got a word from the Lord. I don't know if I'm supposed to teach or preach, so I'll do a half of each, and they call that treaching. Of course, teaching's when you tell, and preaching's when you yell, so I'll try to tell and yell a little bit along the way. Amen. And if the telling's not going good, I'll yell a little more. Amen. So if you have a Bible, the book of Mark, chapter number 9, one verse, that's always a good sign. Can't be a long sermon when it's just one verse, can it? Amen. Yeah, I know. Amen. You know, in computer files, they have what they call an archived file, like a zip file, where they take a lot of information and they crunch it and compress it down into a small file so that you can email it or take it on a little stick or something. And then when you uncompress it back out, it's usable. To me, that's kind of what the word of the Lord is. All of the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the Almighty God compressed down into a book we can carry around in our hand, and you really don't get the full understanding of it until you uncompress it. That's why it's possible to read one verse and talk 45 minutes. Hallelujah. Got to let it unfold. Mark chapter 9, verse number 23. Jesus said unto him, if, boy, there's the big if. I wish I had a big giant one up here on the platform tonight. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's the King James. God's Word translation says, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. I want to talk to you tonight about facing your future with faith. Facing the future with faith. Not with fear, but with faith. Father, I pray that the word of the Lord will come like seed, prophetic seed sown in the heart of every person in this building tonight. Let this word, Lord, be supernatural in nature. Let it be progressive in revelation. And let it bring power and illumination to our minds, our emotions, and let it, Lord, chart the course for our destiny. I ask you, Lord, that you will touch every person that I am preaching to tonight in a very special and a very unique way, and allow us to go from this place with greater faith and with an understanding. Would you give the Lord a little praise for something good he's done in your life? If he's ever healed you or delivered you or brought you out, set you free. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A very popular phrase that started back in the early 1990s and gained strength all the way up through the 90s and is really still quite popular to this day is the idea of being purpose-driven. Purpose-driven. They first started out educating the pastors about a purpose-driven church, and then the writer wrote about a purpose-driven life, and now we have Purpose Institute, and it's the idea about make sure whatever you're spending your time on has value. Whatever you're spending your energy and resources on, make sure your time and energy and money is being placed in an area that is part of your overall purpose, so that you're not wasting your time, wasting your energy and resources on things that don't matter. Well, I was riding along recently in a vehicle. I think somebody, young man, was taking me to the airport or bringing me from the airport, and a young preacher, and had questions and wanted mentoring. And as I began to talk to him, and we talked a little bit about the purpose-driven idea, I said, let me present you with something I think is greater than being purpose-driven. Something that is more powerful and more important and more impacting. And purpose-driven is good, and it has its benefits, but how about being faith-driven? Allowing faith to be the driving and defining force of your life and your ultimate response to every situation we face in life. What if I faced it all with faith? What if I responded to all of it with faith? Now, I'm a faith preacher, and by nature, all of us have faith because we've had faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact of the matter is, I don't always respond to everything coming my way with faith. Sometimes our faith is small. Sometimes it's weak. Sometimes it's non-existent. So this idea of facing the future with faith, having a response that is deeply rooted and founded in the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that is rooted in the principles and the precepts and the truths that are the eternal truths of life from the Word of the Lord. See, not one of us knows what the future holds. There are so many uncertainties, so many variables. Am I going to have to start yelling here? Okay. No one knows what it holds. So many uncertainties, so many variables, so many decisions involved in the intricate formula that determine the future events in our lives. A countless number of seemingly insignificant decisions place all of us here today. I walked in, of course, Pastor was teasing me, but I hugged his neck because him and I have not even spoken. He said, I didn't know you were going to be here. I said, neither did I. Evidently, my people got with your people, and they worked all this out, and here we are. Amen. And, of course, I didn't know I was going to be in Gainesville on Sunday. So you just back it up a few weeks ago, and decisions being made then, one thing led to another, to another, to another, and here we are. At least here I am, and here my wife is. You could trace back the decisions that lead you to being here tonight. Some of them may go back years, where you made decisions that slowly began to unfold, that put you in this area, that put you living where you're living, that put you connected to the person you were working with or living beside or got to know, and then they invited you and then you came, and here you are tonight at midweek Bible study because you decided that you weren't going to just be a shallow Christian, but if you were going to do this thing, you may as well do it all the way. You may as well be faithful. Amen. Good to see you at Bible class. I tell my sons all the time, they know some of my phrases in life. And one of them is, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. Because a grizzly is the biggest bear of all the bears. If you're going to do this thing, do it right. Do it big. Do it with all your heart. Put everything you have into it. Be all in for the kingdom of God. Can you say praise the Lord? If you're going to give him high praise. Give him great praise. The Bible said, make a joyful noise. Another place it said, a loud noise. Another place it said, cry out and shout. And when it said, clap your hands, it said, clap your hands, all ye people. Let everybody do it. And let everybody do it with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength. In other words, put all of yourself into this thing. Praise the Lord. You'll find out something they taught me back in the old church. It's not hard to live for God when you live for God hard. It just seems like the more all in you are, the wind gets to your back, the flow gets going, the momentum of the Spirit gets with you, and you just start going along a lot easier when you just start doing it with all your heart. Amen. The quandary of life is created by both the benefit and the burden of free will. We all have a free will tonight. We are able to make our own decisions. We can do whatever we want to do, howbeit within the limitations of our financial ability, our physical ability, and with hopefully some moral restraint. Yes, you can do anything you so desire to do, except some things you can't do because you can't afford to do. Some things you can't do because you're not physically able to do. Amen. I found out that when I tried to play racquetball a while back. Now, I used to play racquetball all the time. I should have never stopped because getting started again is nearly impossible. The game is usually played to 15. It was like 3-1. And I was hyperventilating in the corner. Said, hold on a second. I had one hand on the wall trying to catch my breath. So some things you can't afford to do. Some things you're not physically able to do. And some things we just won't do because we have a moral code, a restraining system in my actions, boundaries of decency and boundaries of humanity that say, I'm just not going to do those things. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to act like that, think like that. I'm better than that. My life is more valuable than that. You know, if you don't have any boundaries in your life, I feel sorry for you. You are a creature of free will. You have a moral responsibility that goes along with it. You can do whatever you choose to do, But hopefully, you know, true freedom is not just doing anything you want to do anytime you want to do it. True freedom is having the power to do what's right to do, especially when it gets hard to do the right thing. Of course, we have relationships and commitments and love that also help us chart our course in life. So within these very broad boundaries of finance and physical ability and moral codes and our relationships and the people we love, within those broad boundaries and restraints, we live out our lives enjoying our independence, enjoying the liberty of a free nation and the liberty of our free will. And as we live our lives along the way, we start learning the lessons of life. Yes, I can do anything I want to do, but my actions have both rewards and consequences. If I want to go out here and get in my vehicle and go out on the highway and drive 90, I can do it. But there could be some consequences of those actions. If I pass the fella sitting over there with the radar gun and the blue lights on top, he might decide to pull me over and give me a ticket and charge me money for driving so fast or take my license or put me in jail. And if he don't catch me at 90 miles an hour, I could lose control or somebody could pull out in front of me. I could wreck that vehicle, hurt myself or someone else. There are consequences with our choices. I can get as angry as I want to get and spout off and say anything that I want to say, but that can cause a problem. Boy, I'm telling. This is the telling part. I'm telling. Look at the person beside me. He's telling you right now. I'm telling you. You can tell everyone exactly what you think about them and about everything going on your job. You can tell your boss just how you feel about him or her, and that might not always be so wise. To exercise your right to speak, you also have the right to remain silent. So I've been told up close and personal. And then, of course, there are people in life that God gives us and life gives us to help us learn to make right choices. Hopefully, parents and others can help us learn the way and help us by experience. You know, shouldn't have to learn everything the hard way. Group of young people over here. Hopefully you guys won't have to learn everything the hard way. Listen to some of us gray hairs and folks that have been down the road and understand we're just trying to tell you. Now, you can do that if you want to, but here's where that leads. And you can be stubborn and say, well, I'm going to find out for myself and join the club, and then you'll know what we know and you'll have learned it the way we learned it. Or you can take some teaching and a little understanding and avoid some pitfalls and get a little further down the road a little faster. Amen. Experience is a great thing, but the problem with experience is the wisdom experience gives you is like the comb life gives you after you've gone bald. I'm glad I know all the stuff I know now. It's just I wish I would have known it when I really needed it. Seems like you don't get anything figured out till it's too late to fix it. If I would have just known then what I know now. By the time we get to be an adult, hopefully, we've decided we want to make good decisions, the kind that lead to a positive experience and a happy life. And we've learned some things, and wisdom of years has come along, and everything. We make an incredible discovery about ourselves. We don't know everything. You will find out that you are a flawed individual. If you don't know it, you soon will find out you have issues. I'm still telling. Perhaps you have addictions or emotional problems. Drama king or queen or whatever. Then more serious things can happen along the way that leave us scarred or damaged in our emotions. And maybe your mind gets messed up in your thinking process and you just can't quite make good judgments and good decisions and you don't think about things right. Well, let me be the one to lovingly and kindly and sweetly tell you here tonight, you need help. You need help. You're messed up. You need to get some help. We all do. Not just you or you or you or you, but all of us. If we'll be honest with ourselves, you're going to reach a place we need help. We need something beyond our intellect, our emotion, our wisdom, our abilities. We need help. We need assistance. We need strength we don't seem to have. We need wisdom we don't seem to possess. We need direction when we don't, when we're confused. And we don't have all the answers. And the older we get, seem like the less answers we have. And David the psalmist is one of the finest among all the inspired writers in speaking to this frail condition of humanity and the hope we find in the Lord and all the decisions that need to be made and the help we find out we need. He said in Psalms 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I think we saw that this week if you've been watching the news. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Would you receive it as a prophetic declaration into your soul? The Lord is your help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Our help cometh in this atmosphere we are in here tonight. Our help cometh as we worship in the Spirit, as we lift up our praise, as we lift up our prayers. There is help and strength and light and wisdom coming down from above. Hallelujah. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. It's coming down to help us. It's coming down to direct us. It's coming down to give us insight and understanding and wisdom. Hallelujah. So I'm not left to my own devices, and I'm not left just to people around me to give me some kind of a good word, and I'm not left to my educational level, and I'm not left to just what I've been able to piece together. There is a wisdom of all the ages that can come into my mind, and the very God of the universe can speak inside my soul, and he can direct our paths. The ancient wisdom is as true and fresh today as the first time it was ever discovered. The Lord is my help. That's why we come to church. That's why we're here in Bible study. It's why we open our Bibles and read those words. There's help in there. There's hope in there. There's strength in there. There's wisdom in there. There's understanding in there. There's wisdom of the spiritual kind that becomes a light and a lamp to our feet so that we get understanding for this life we're living in. Woo! David was not the first one to find such wisdom. The secret of serving the Lord has been proclaimed by many throughout history. Joshua told them on the hillside of hesitation, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I've made a decision in life. If this living for the Lord and being a Christian and studying the Bible and coming to church, if that seems like a bunch of foolishness to you and you see no benefit in it and that's not going to help you, fine, then go your way and do your thing, whatever. But as for me, my mind's made up. My foot is on the rock. I've already decided I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. He's been too good to me. I've come too far to turn back now. I've got my mind made up. No turning back. I'm going to face the future, and I'm going to face my destiny. I'm going to face the mountains, and I'm going to face the valleys, and I'm going to deal with the troubles life serves my way. I'm going to deal with it with a Christian perspective. I'm going to deal with it with a biblical foundation. I'm going to deal with it with a spiritual response. I'm going to deal with it with a prophetic word. I'm going to deal with it with a declaration of authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to deal with it by the Holy Spirit of God. I've got a response mechanism. I've got a response for life. I'm going to face my future by faith. By faith in God. Woo! If you get laid off or fired from your job, face it with faith. Go through crisis or injury or sickness or family turmoil. The whole world deals with those things. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Everybody has pressure. Everybody deals with financial strain. People lose their jobs. People wreck their cars. Families have trouble. Children don't always do right. Drugs and alcohol and other addictions make their way into every family of every strata all over this earth. What we have to decide is, how am I going to respond, and how am I going to handle it? How am I going to deal with it? And where's my strength going to come from? And how am I going to wake up in the morning and put my feet off the side of the bed and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and I will rejoice in it, because my help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. This happy face that I'm wearing, Jesus put it there to stay. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Amen. My joy comes from the Lord. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. My strength cometh from the Lord, not from this world. It's a peace that passes understanding. You've got to tap into the well that is deeper than anything this world has. Woo! Slide yourself into a midweek Bible study in the middle of the work week, and what do they call this out there in the business world? Hump day. Get over the hump day. Hey man, it's been all uphill from Monday till now. It's been an uphill climb, and if we can just make it a little further, maybe we can start down the other side and hit Thursday and Friday and, hey man, get some momentum into the weekend. But here we are trying to get over the hump. How are we going to do it? With the help of the Lord. Abraham, that great father of the faith, went out himself in search for a city whose builder and maker was God. I'm looking for a life that has been arranged, built, and designed, and constructed by the intent of God. Moses handed down wisdom from above when he came down from the mountain. Commandments engraved in stone, written by the finger of God. We know him as the Ten Commandments. He said, here, these ought to help. Live by these. Let these keep you out of trouble. When you lose your way, come back to these, this basic moral premise and moral guidelines of life. From that time until now, there have been notable prophets of both testaments in every generation to rise up and declare his ways. And we have the testimony of those who have followed him. Their victories are well recorded, their rewards forever secure. And I stand before you tonight. I was telling them up in Gainesville the other day, I got my 25-year preaching certificate from the organization a few years back. I'm sneaking up on 30 years. 30 years in ordained ministry, 30 years full-time living for the Lord, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't just get converted last week, folks. You're not hearing the unschooled, untested, unseasoned words of a new convert that's just fired up about being in church. I've been here through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Seen them come and seen them go. Seen people say they were one thing, find out they're something else. Found out church people don't always get along. Sometimes they don't even like each other. Amen. Sometimes they don't treat you right. Sometimes they lie. They talk about you. Amen. Sin just muds everybody else. Get all up in your mess. Their lives are a mess, making your life a mess. Amen. Been around 30 years. My eyes have seen some things. Amen. And after 30 years of living for God, seeing behind the curtain, behind the veil, underneath the hood, however you want to look at it, you can't shock me. I remember I started pastoring when I was 25 years old. Now in those days at 25 and 26, when someone, they would come in the office with some stuff, I had to put on my poker face and act like I wasn't shocked, but inside I was going, I mean, I'd leave and go home and say, you're not going to believe this. 30 years later, I think I've heard it all. I don't think I really get shocked about it anymore. But I've just come to tell you, after all that I've seen, the good, the bad, the ugly, what's right, what's wrong, all the things about it that you could complain about. And if you don't know what's wrong with the church, just go on Facebook and Twitter. They're all talking about it. Everybody on there can tell you what's wrong with the church. They're all complaining about preachers and complaining about church and telling you what's wrong with it and why nobody wants to go. And they're just all experts. Just any fool can tell you what's wrong. I'm looking for somebody who can help me get it right. Amen. It don't take no whole lot of observation. Walk up and say, well, that car right there, that won't start. Yeah, I kind of knew that before you got here, bud. You got any ideas how to get it going? Amen. Everybody on Facebook wants to talk about what's wrong. You better find you somebody can help point you in the right direction. Amen. Find out what's right and what's the right thing to do. After the years I've been in this thing, I've got my mind made up. As for me and my house, if it don't seem good to you to serve the Lord, if you've seen something makes you just want to turn away, that's between you and him. But I'm just saying, as for me and my house, with all I've seen and all I know and both sides of the coin, I've got my mind made up. I'm going to face the future with faith. I still think living for the Lord is the best answer. I still think coming to church is my best answer. I still think prayer moves the mountains. I still think faith, amen, even the size of a mustard seed will move those mountains. And I still think in my weakness I am strong. And I still think I can speak the name of Jesus and make a devil flee. I put these things to the test, and I'm telling you, they work. They work in the wilderness, they work on the mountains, they work in the valleys, they work in the good times, they work in the bad times. Hallelujah! When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah! After 30 years, I've got a hallelujah in my heart. I've got a praise in my heart. I still feel like worshiping the Lord. Woo! I don't feel like quitting tonight. You can tell I'm having a little trouble coughing, hallelujah. But I'll just cough in Jesus' name. Amen. People don't even go to church, cough. Amen. Ain't the devil, it's the weather. Amen. Everybody get the flu. If you're going to get the flu, you might as well get the flu knowing what to do. Calling on the Lord. Getting prayer. Drinking Robitussin in Jesus' name. Extra strength. Hallelujah. I kind of feel like the Apostle Peter tonight. People were backsliding and abandoning and leaving the faith and walking away from Jesus. And Jesus looked around and looked at him and said, will you also go away? And he said, Where am I going to go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. I mean, seriously, I get frustrated sometimes. I get frustrated with pastors. Pastors get frustrated with me. I get frustrated with saints. Saints get frustrated with me. I get frustrated with the whole thing. I get frustrated with traveling. I get frustrated with Delta. I get frustrated with the motorhome. I get frustrated with KOAs. I get frustrated with all of it. Hallelujah. But what am I going to do? If I put the microphone down tonight and walked out the door and said, that's it, I'm done, I wouldn't even know where to go. I'll be sitting out in y'all's parking lot trying to figure out. All right, I ain't living for God no more. Now what do I do? What am I going to do? Go down here and cry another tear in my beer? See, the problem I got is I've been there and done that. I did that before I got here. So I already know. Maybe if you never tried it, you don't understand. But just listen to me. I did that before I did this. I'm in this because I was running from that. I was begging God, there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be something more than a six-pack, a 12-pack. There's got to be something more than rolling up a doobie and smoking it till my eyes go blurry. There's got to be something more than a microdot acid I could put under my tongue and hallucinate for 3 days. I've been on all that. I'm trying to get out of that. That's how I ended up here. So if I get frustrated here, where am I going to go? There's no place to go from here. What am I going to do? Go smoke a cigarette to try to calm my nerves? My nerves are too much for a cigarette. I need something more than that. I need help. I need help. I need real, genuine, legitimate, genuine help that cometh from the Lord. The kind of help you're feeling right now. The kind of help that's coming down. My help cometh from the Lord. That's kind of help. You can't get that in a bottle. You can't get that in a cigarette. You can't get that in a pill bottle. You got to get that coming down out of the atmosphere, flowing down from heaven, coming down to every perfect gift into your soul. Woo! Go ahead and get your help for a minute. Go ahead and touch the Lord. Go ahead and love the Lord. Get a little help. Get a little help. Get a little help. Let the Lord touch your heart. Let the Lord touch your emotion. Let the comforter come and comfort your spirit and comfort your mind and comfort your emotion. Let it come and tell you everything is going to be all right. Woo! I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Oh, I wish I could sing it tonight. I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Where do you get a feeling like that? Not from the evening news. Where do you get a feeling that everything's going to be all right? The mail didn't tell you it was going to be all right. All the third and final late notices didn't tell you it was going to be all right. The phone call didn't tell you it was going to be all right. The only place is that still small voice that comes from the Lord that says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I got a feeling in my soul that everything is going to be all right. Woo! Make you laugh when you got nothing to laugh about. Give you joy when you got nothing to be happy about. Peter said, where am I going to go? And Paul said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So Peter confesses, I really wouldn't know where to go from here anyhow. And Paul says, you got to understand, if I can just finish my course, keep this faith, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but all those that love his appearing. So even if I don't get it all worked out down here, if I never get all my troubles fixed up down here, at least I know one thing. I'm going to a city where the Lamb is the light. I'm going to a place there'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more dying, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more pain. I'm not living for this world anyway. If I had hope only in this world, I'd be of all men most miserable, but I'm just a pilgrim passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Come on, somebody. There's a reward day coming. There's a payday coming someday. Day. There's another world on the other side of this one. That's where I'm headed. If I don't ever get it all together down here, one day this mortality is going to put on immortality. One day this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. One day I'm going to shed these bars of bones, and I'm going to shed all the doubts and fears and troubles that go with it. And once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. Amen. But Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God. You know, he set me free. Anybody feeling the freedom that only comes from the Spirit of God? Woo! Is ever gonna help with the music? Start heading that way. You can be seated for just a second. I'm guess I got to yelling there, didn't I? Went from telling to yelling. Hallelujah. You tell enough, you'll want to yell about something. The parable teaches the wise man builds his house on the rock by obeying the word of God. We are people who have decided the best course of action in life is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have joined a heavenly host of people who have brought down strongholds, escaped the mouth of lions, been delivered from fiery furnaces, watched the walls of the mighty fall down. We have joined up ranks with giant slayers who have overcome by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. We are born again believers. We have placed our future and our destiny in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I have no backup plan, no safety net. I'm all in for Jesus. I have no other option. There's no second plan or plan B. There's only plan A, Alpha and Omega. Amen. I'm living by faith. I'm living believing in something I cannot see, but I know in my spirit is right by the word of the Lord. Faith will save you, according to Ephesians 2:8. So I recommend you live by faith and be saved. Faith will defend you, Ephesians 6:16. Faith will provide for you, Psalms 9:10. Faith will establish your life, Chronicles 20:20. Faith will pray the answer into action, 1 John 5:14. Faith will prosper you and protect you, Proverbs 14 and 11. Faith will move the mountains of opposition, Matthew 12 and 20. Faith will see you through. So Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I was thinking about this wonderful church on the drive over here. I was thinking about what a magnificent church this is and how the hand of God is so heavily upon you and has kept you and has protected you and has preserved you. Those words, protected and preserved, came strongly into my spirit. And I'm telling you tonight, under prophetic anointing, God has both protected and preserved this church to this very hour. Don't ever doubt it. Just because you can't figure it out means nothing. Don't doubt it. The Lord has protected and preserved this church to this very hour. And we'll understand it better by and by. I don't understand it all now, but we'll understand it all then. And we will see that the Lord has protected and preserved this church to this very hour. And he will protect and he will preserve you. Regardless of what you're going through and regardless of what it appears you have lost in your life, I'm prophesying to you tonight, the Lord is protecting and preserving you. Your faith in God trumps all the other variables, and your faith in God is the single most influential force in your life. Let nothing be greater than your faith. You could stand with me across the auditorium tonight. I only read Mark 9:23. I didn't read the next verse. But the next verse that I'm going to read now records the response of the man that Jesus was talking to. He told him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man said in Mark 9:24, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. At least he knew he needed help. I believe. He firmly confessed, I do believe. I am a believer. But I am not only a believer. I'm also a doubter. I'm also fearful. I've also got all these turmoils and phantoms in the night. And he said, I need you to help me with my unbelief. So tonight as we close and we have just a few minutes here around the altar, I'm not questioning your faith. I know you have faith. You wouldn't come to church. You wouldn't be in the house of God. You wouldn't respond to the moving of the Spirit. But I think we need some help with the phantoms that come, with the fears that come, the doubts and the fears that come as we face life. And I want to speak into your lives tonight that your faith is greater than any obstacle that is in front of you. You can go past it and over it and beyond it and see to your future regardless of your present. And faith will work by the love of God. Pray for help living His word. Pray for help and believing His word. Pray for help with believing and having miracles of His word released into your life. We need to pray for help overcoming doubt and overcoming fear that is associated with life. We need to give ourselves completely away and all in, and no hedge bets, no halfway, but I am all in, believing God is my answer and He is my help. So if you need a little help tonight, aisles are open, altar areas open. We've got about 15 minutes we can spend. Why don't you come and get a little help from the Lord tonight? Help my unbelief. Amen. Help my unbelief. I am a believer, Lord. I believe, I trust, but I need help tonight overcoming the phantoms and the fears and the paranoias and all the negative evidences. Come on down here and lift up those hands to the Lord and say, oh, I'm going to look to the hills which cometh my help. I'm going to look up, for my help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 My help cometh from the Lord. My strength cometh from the Lord. His hand is going to be my strength and my guide. His word is going to be that lamp and that light. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms of God tonight. I'm leaning on the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in the prophetic declaration for my life. Strengthen your people tonight, Lord. Help our unbelief, O Lord. I cast out the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every spirit of doubt in the name of Jesus. I speak the word of deliverance into your life. And I cast out the spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear. I cast it away from you. I cast the doubt away from you. I speak deliverance. There's a delivering power here in this altar. Be delivered. Receive deliverance from the doubts and the fears you drug in here tonight. They were weighing heavy like burdens upon your shoulders. Cast your cares upon the Lord.
You hold my ear. Moment.
Fully persuaded,
you calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire, and you heal my disease.
Let the Lord minister to your emotions and your spirit. Let Him be your help. Help me, Lord.
Thank you. walk with me through fire.
You walk with me through fire.
Lord, you're healing. You
heal all my disease.
So I will trust.
I trust.
I'll trust.
Impossible for you. Nothing is
across the altar here. People are praying for one another. Before we go, why don't you turn to somebody and maybe you want to just speak a word to them or quote a verse of scripture to them or minister in some kind of way. Just speak a word of encouragement. Pray a prayer. Amen. Just there's such a flowing spirit of ministry and encouragement's here. Speak a good word. Pray with one another, your friend there. Say something good. Amen. Bless the Lord. I speak a blessing over them. Speak something good into their life. Bless their finances. Bless them on their jobs and careers. Bless their families. Bless their physical body. Pray a healing. Final minutes. This atmosphere is flowing with the love of God, the Holy Spirit, great gentleness and love is among us. And the reason for that is the greatest strength against fear is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And when we are facing the fears of life and future and finance and health, and insecurity and problems in life, it's the love of God that comes that assures us. And see, and then faith works by love. See, your faith will operate by the love that you have for the Lord and your understanding of the love that He has for you. That'll cause your faith to operate. But when you're facing the fear and facing this, let the love of God come. So one more prayer upon the whole congregation tonight. I pray that the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart, that a revelation of His great love wherewith He has loved you would abide heavily in your soul, and that your faith would receive fresh power and strength because of how much the Lord loves you. He's going to keep you. He's going to help you. He's going to preserve you. He's going to protect you. Your health cometh from the Lord.